This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this quick hitter edition of your Blues NHL podcast. We'll go ahead and just subtitle this thing and let you know what's going on here. It's the newest segment in town. Jump on board. Jamie's happy. I get a text message this morning from our good friend Jamie Rivers, and he says, "Hey, buddy, I need to jump on for 15 minutes. Can you find me some studio time?" I said, "Sure." I said, "What's going on?" And I had a feeling. He said, "Look, we were a little hard on the boys yesterday. We've been hard on them at times, and when things go the right way, we gotta rightfully show some love." So I think he's excited to talk about the game last night. Says he has some observations he'd like to share. Anytime you get a start to a game like that, you know guys like Darren Kimball and Jamie Rivers are going to go, "Okay, here we go." And, you know, they might even in the back of their mind expect something like this because, again, they've been through the war. So was really excited to get that text from him. Had a feeling I would. I was really surprised I didn't get it last night as soon as the game started. But I know the guy's busy, and sometimes he doesn't even get home till after midnight. But I assure you that once he did get home and rewatched the game two or three times, he probably had some things that he thought, "You know what, I got to get on here." Did me the service and not texted me probably at 3 in the morning when he was rewatching games. So, again, I wake up to the text, and I'm happy to do it. Again, I know the fans love the Jamie's Piss segment. My hope is that you'll enjoy Jamie's Happy just as much. Before we get to Jamie Rivers, let's remind you, we are the Blues NHL Podcast. You can find us at bluesnhlpodcast.com. The things you can do there are multiple. You can listen to the show. You can check out some back episodes there. The best thing you can do there, though, is subscribe to the show, which is completely free, and you'll get a notification on your mobile device each time one of our new shows has been downloaded. So as we do more of these quick hitters, you won't miss them because it'll let you know, hey, there's a new show out for you to listen to instead of just the normal Monday and Thursday edition. So make sure you do that. It's absolutely free. One of the things you could do to help us is do your shopping through Amazon, through our website. It doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral that helps us with our production costs. You simply find that Amazon banner on your mobile device. You'll scroll all the way down and click it on your computers. You'll find it to the right, down a little bit. Once you click that, you're done with us. It takes you to Amazon. You do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral, and we do appreciate it greatly. Our ask of you is to check out our social media stuff. Twitter, of course. We love the conversations on Twitter. You can find us. We have two Twitter accounts, at STL Blues Podcast and at NHL Show. Love to have you guys follow us, and anytime you see us tweet something out, we'd love for you guys to jump in the conversation. When you see us tweet out the show, if you guys enjoy it and can retweet it, we'd greatly appreciate that. Our big ask, though, is to find our Facebook page. Go to Facebook, get in the search bar, type in Blues NHL Podcast. Click on it, like the page, and if you could, my guess is you have lots of friends that are Blues fans. Click invite your friends, go through your list, invite your friends that are Blues fans to like it as well. We'd love to have them part of our Blues community. Find us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast. And of course, you're aware that we are part of the lineupmedia.fm network. Happy to be a part of that. They're the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. They now have the newest addition to their stable, Yo Radio, the newest internet station. Check it out. Google Yo Radio. You'll love it. Tons of great stuff on there, and we're happy to be a part of that growth. Couldn't do the shows, all of them, without our partners. Again, special thanks always to Randy and Stephanie Green with the Innovated Companies. InnovatedCompanies.com for all of your needs, residential, commercial, industrial. They've never made it easier, folks. All three companies under one umbrella. They can take you from start to finish for anything you need. Check them out. We got Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, and, of course, Innovated Electric. We're so proud to have them a part of us. Again, Randy is a man of honor, a man of word, 35-plus years experience, second-generation craftsman. This is a guy, folks, that his word is his bond. Make sure you check him out, and of course his wonderful daughter Stephanie, who he brought in to keep him straight and organized, which any good man knows. If you got a great woman in your life, including your daughter, you can go a lot of places. So great call by Randy to bring Stephanie in to keep him on the straight and narrow with his business and keeping it straight. So thank you, Randy. Thank you, Stephanie. NelsonLandServices.com, couldn't do it without them. You're going to hear about them in a little bit. And, of course, SynergyHockeySkills.com and our good friend Tommy Brown, the tax resolution specialist. We're going to hear more from him on Monday. It's tax season, folks, and Tommy Brown can help keep you on the straight and narrow. All right, it's time now to go to the newest segment. Jamie's happy.
Well, again, as I'm happy to always do, let's introduce the real talent of the show, the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. What's going on, pal?
Hey, buddy. How we doing today?
Well, I can hear it in your voice. It's almost like a new segment is born. Jamie's happy. And I can tell you, as I sat on my couch last night and I watched the puck drop, and I watched, I got to tell you, I was like, why is Shen on the wing? What is going on here? And I thought, that's interesting. Did we make a change? And I saw him talking to the guy. I didn't realize it was the captain on the other team, because, you know, they had the back to you on the thing. And I thought, okay, something's going on, and bam, whammo. And I knew somewhere Mr. Kimble and Mr. Rivers were happy.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's funny because, you know, Shen kind of talked about it with Darren Pang last night, and, you know, it is an uncomfortable situation. And even for guys that, like, I'm sure Kimby would agree with it, it's not a comfortable situation to have a premeditated fight where you're like, okay, I'm going to fight, I'm going to ask a guy, and there's really no anger, there's really nothing right now, we're just going to go at it. And it's weird, that the feeling's weird. So, and then for Shen to go ahead, and like I said, it was premeditated, where he talks about in warm-up he wanted to do it, or he decided he was going to do it. You know, that takes some balls. It really does, because it's not an easy thing to do. There's nothing else in the game to watch. There's no other play going on. People are going to be glued to their TV sets and, you know, in the stands watching, because they are coming off of a subpar effort, to say the least. So, you know what? All eyes on him at that moment. And, look, I'm not saying that the fight is what won them the game. I'm not saying that, him challenging a guy and premeditating a fight, I'm not saying that that's the solution to, you know, correcting a bad game, or that that's the ultimate leadership quality. But it's something that you're doing extra that, you know, ignites the team. And we talked about this in studio, I believe, yesterday or even Monday over the phone. I'm not sure now. It's all a blur. But we talked about guys who would step in front of a slap shot, block a shot, or make a hit, or do something that's slightly out of character for them to ignite the bench, to get the guys going, to let them know that, hey, I'm here to play, come with me, type thing. And so Braden Shen stepping outside the box and challenging their captain, which is a perfect challenge, which was fantastic, their captain to a fight 3 seconds in, I mean, it really set the stage for the game. And honestly, you could see emotion in our players last night. Like, when Petro scores, you know, he's fired up, and you can tell that he's ready to go. And Vince Dunn, I mean, young guy, full of piss and vinegar, what a game he had. So, you know, I know it's not ordinary that we do these little segments. Usually it's Jamie's pissed, but I couldn't wait today to get this off my chest, because it's so positive what I saw last night out of everybody. Now, there's still a few little things that, you know, we'll talk about coming up that I wasn't thrilled with, but overall, I think that that's the kind of energy and enthusiasm that the fans are wanting from the Blues.
And hats off to their captain, Landeskog. I mean, he could have said, no. I mean, why would I do that? I mean, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to because, you know, I, listen, you've been, as you've said numerous times, you've been in numerous locker rooms. My assumption would be anytime you play a game like last night, the Colorado coaching staff probably had to remind his team, look, these guys just got it handed to them the other night. They're talking big in the paper. They're going to come out hard at us. The captain could have said, look, I'm not going to give you this opportunity, but hats off to him for recognizing the situation. And again, I don't know for sure. I did see that Shen had said that he was looking in the warmups, and who knows? Maybe he made some eye contact with the captain and said, "I got to do this." Who knows? I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. I thought it was great. And again, not that you do things just for the sake of doing them, but you know, I got to tell you, I mean, again, sports is awesome because sometimes it gives you those movie moments. And he comes out, he does this, he gets the team going, he gets the crowd going, and lo and behold, who scores the first goal and on a power play to boot? Braden Shen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Listen, I can tell you that any time that I've either seen a player or personally had a first shift where there's been a fight or a big hit or something, you know, or you get a point or an assist on your first shift or something like that, something monumental that happens early in the game, usually at that point, like, you just know you're going to have one hell of a game. And so Braden Shen coming out like that, obviously adrenaline through the roof at that point, comes out after that and, you know, scores the goal. And I mean, as soon as you saw all of this developing, you knew it was going to be a Braden Shen evening. And it was great because why shouldn't the guy who, the first guy on the team who steps up and shows a little bit of, you know, out of character emotion or stepping out of his comfort zone, why shouldn't he be rewarded for his efforts? And it's great. Storybook kind of game. It's only one game, mind you, and it's, you know, but it's a big game at this point, seeing that the fact the Blues came out of a bad game and the Avalanche have been nipping at everybody's heels over there in the playoff race. So a good game to create all this atmosphere. And hopefully this week is huge. You know, now they got to go into Winnipeg and play. So why not be riding a wave of positive emotion?
Yeah, you mentioned Vince Dunn. You want to just touch on his game last night and really the maturation of this kid. I mean, I'm just impressed. Just really impressed.
Well, you know, what Mike Yeo and his coaching staff have done is exactly what they should take this whole year and document it for coaches who need to learn how to groom a young defenseman, because they brought him in. You know, he made the team, and they quietly have been giving him a little more responsibility, little bits at a time. And you can see that even when he started on the power play, not that he was uncomfortable, but there is a certain level of, you know, being unsure. You don't know if you should shoot the puck. You don't know if you need to pass it to Tarasenko every time. You don't know if you need to pass it to player X every time. But now the evolution of Vince Dunn has gotten it to where, I mean, I can't tell you how great this kid is playing in the puck possession and the way he controls the play. I mean, he's really developed into a quarterback out there. Like, when he gets the puck, no longer are you like, oh, okay, kid, find the open guy quickly and move it quickly. You're like, watch this guy. He handles the puck. He moves his feet. He protects the puck. He finds the open guy. Like, two plays that stick out in my mind is the one where he's at the blue line and he goes back between his own legs and spins around and makes a play. Like, are you kidding me on that one? Like, you have to have balls the size of church bells to be pulling that shit off in the NHL, but it's a sign of how much the coaching staff has built this kid up. And then, secondly, the one shift where Petro scores the one-timer, guys, like, without him on that shift, that whole shift was Vince Dunn. He goes down on the right side, down to the half wall. He turns up, spins around, finds a path through the seam to start it, which misses the net, gets the puck back, stick handles, protects the puck, looks like he's out of the play, like they're going to eliminate him and take the puck. He reaches in at the last minute with one hand on a stick, fires it back down to Stastny, gets back up to Vince Dunn. He walks over, passes one-timer goal. Like, yeah, like that's, you know, I don't want to go too crazy here, but that is like, you know, Eric Carlson shit, Drew Doughty shit. Like, that's the kind of stuff right now that you're seeing out of Norris Trophy defensemen. And Vince Dunn is far from that. I get it. But the fact that he's showing signs of that, it's always like a sign of things to come. If he's able to do it once, that means he's able to do it again. And that's, to me, shows what you know, what the potential could be for this guy.
You know, we were pretty hard on Mr. Tarasenko yesterday. I didn't realize how hard we were on him till I listened back to the show, and it really came across to fans like we were saying he's awful and we should trade him, which I don't necessarily know that that's what we were advocating for. I think we were talking about different scenarios. But that being said, he had an interesting game last night, and that's a word that I want to use. You want to talk about his game last night?
Well, look, you know, Vladdy, to me, and let's first of all talk about yesterday real quick. You know, we talked about scenarios, like you said, and possibilities. And I call it fantasy land, right? Because we talked about trades and all this stuff. It's fun to hot stove it. And we do that, of course, for Innovated, our hot stove segment. So we talk about that stuff, and it's fun to do it. Now, in an ideal world, I want nothing more than for Vladdy to be a dominant player, to be that guy, the franchise player, to be the guy that nobody can stop. So, you know, ultimately, that's what we're discussing here. And unfortunately, I still didn't see it last night. You know, I really just didn't. You know, this guy, he misses the net a ton. You can tell he's pressing. You can tell he's forcing. And, you know, he showed some emotion late in the game as far as, you know, he broke his stick and stuff. But I'm just worried, okay? I'm just worried that he's angry for personal reasons and not necessarily for team reasons. And the reason I say that is it's tough, and I can't get inside his head, but you see a guy when it's, you know, 6-1 or 5-1 and he misses shots on goal or misses a goal, and you see his body language and where he'll turn and then won't really back check or smacks his stick on the ice or this and that, and you just wonder, is it for individual purposes or is it for team purposes that he's frustrated with? And I'm going to go on the side of positive today because I'm feeling pretty good about all this. I'm going to think that it's probably for team purposes with a splash of individual in there, because just like Brett Hull was back in the day, if Brett Hull individually isn't scoring goals and doing great things, the team isn't as successful. So I'm hoping that Vladdy's getting pissed off and irritated and emotional based on the fact that he wants to score goals to help his team to win, and not just for the fact that he wants to score goals to satisfy Vladdy Tarasenko.
You know, again, if you look at his stat line, and again, the game's not completely about stats, although we're going to come to that in a minute. And then, you know, he had 6 missed shots. And we've been talking all year long about him missing the net so much. Has this almost come to a thing now where he's trying to be a too fine, or is there a stick issue? I mean, you've played a lot of hockey, Jamie. I mean, you've seen a lot of great goal scorers that go through funks, but man, this is almost crazy. I mean, he had some hits last night. I thought he Stasny got rocked, although legally, Tarasenko kind of came in there. So I'm okay with all that, but the 6 missed shots, and this is something that's been going on. Is there anything you can enlighten us as to, is he squeezing the stick? I mean, those are all terms you hear as a fan from people involved in the game.
Yeah. Look, it's not a stick issue because, quite honestly, you know, any NHL player can pick up pretty much any stick and figure it out within a couple of shifts how to use it properly. Now, guys have preferences because, you know, that's what you get used to and whatnot, but I could never imagine blaming a stick for, you know, missing the net 6 times or 6 missed shots. So we're going to rule that out. Now, when they say somebody's squeezing the stick, what that really means is they're not confident at that moment in their abilities to put the puck in the net. And they're looking for, you know, it feels like there's nowhere to shoot the puck, and they're trying to find really small areas to score goals. And it's weird to explain, but when you're scoring lots of goals, you see the net so well. Like, it's obvious to you where to shoot the puck. Like, it's easy to put the puck in the areas you want it to go to. When you're not scoring and you start pressing and you feel that pressure, it's just like anything else in life. It just becomes more difficult. Every part of it becomes more difficult to handle the puck, becomes more difficult to execute a good shot, becomes more difficult to hit the net. So the only thing I can draw from, because I was never a goal scorer, so for me to sit here and talk about how to score goals, like, it's almost asinine. But I will draw from the individual I think is one of the greatest, if not the greatest goal scorers of all time, which is Brett Hull. And when Hulley started to go through periods of not scoring, he always talked about cutting the net into four quarters. And I remember listening to him describe it one time, and he's like, if you take a net and you just literally, top to bottom from the middle of the crossbar to the ice, cut it in half, and then cut it in half again and make four quarters in the net, he goes, all you got to think about is hitting one of those squares. Because never mind trying to, knock a fly out of the air with a shot, with accuracy, just hit that area. And sure as shit, Brett would do that, and he did it more often than not, and just putting it in those areas, one, you either find the back of the net, which is great, but two, you're hitting the net. You're not trying to squeeze it into, a little wee space that doesn't exist. You're just shooting for an area. And at that point, shit, Chromes, you can either score or there's a rebound and somebody pumps in the rebound or it goes off to somebody. It's amazing what can happen when you actually get it into those areas. So, a long answer probably to your question, but that's what squeezing the stick can cause. And the advice from the best goal scorer that I know of seems to remedy that a little bit, at least. Hopefully Vladdy can pull from that.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, I listened to an interview with Gretzky, and he talked about scoring goals, and he said he had a conversation actually at the Canada Cup one time with Mario Lemieux, and they were talking all these different guys, and all these guys were talking about, when I come down, I look here and look here and look here, and Gretzky and Lemieux both agreed that every time they looked at the goal, all they saw was net. And maybe right now he's going through a funk. But again, if we're winning games and playing really well and Tarasenko's not scoring, my guess is he's going to start scoring, so that would be a good problem to have if we can do well while he's trying to find his game. The only concerning thing for me last night, and I know you have a couple things you want to touch on, but I know our fans, I'm getting a lot of stuff since I tweeted out that we were going to do this quick hitter. Fans very concerned now with Mr. Edmondson, as it's just been released that he's going to miss 6 weeks with a broken forearm.
Yeah, that's a huge blow for the Blues. This guy has taken up huge minutes. He's stepped into arguably a top pair defense role. But now, now it goes right back to conversations we had before and one we just had earlier in this show is, aren't you glad you've brought Vince Dunn along as fast as you have and as good as you have? Because now, being a left-hand shot, I don't want to say he's automatically going to step into Joel Edmondson's minutes, but he's going to be a person that eats up some of those minutes. And then, aren't you glad that you didn't trade Carl Gunnarsson all of a sudden, right? And we talked about that earlier in the season where I wasn't all for getting rid of defenseman number 7 just because it becomes a pain in the ass to scratch a guy. This is an exact situation that you have to be careful of where you get rid of too many of your guys and now you're stuck having to go to the cupboard when you're not sure what's really in there. So I'm glad that they have Gunnarsson. I'm glad that Vince Dunn has come along as far as he has. And certainly the rest of the decor is in good shape as of right now. So, in my opinion, this is going to hurt the Blues. There's no replacing Joel Edmondson. He does a great job, and I think the world of the kid, and he wears an unbelievable number. So, but at least they're not into, scramble mode or panic mode where the hell are they going to fill his minutes. They have some guys who can do it. I don't just think adequately. I think they're going to be just fine in that area. And when he comes back, it will be like a deadline deal for the Blues getting a good player like that back in their lineup.
So you don't anticipate the Blues overreacting to this to some degree and going out and getting a defenseman?
I don't think there's any need for it. They got solid 6D right now. They've got some younger guys and some other guys in the minors that can come up and play. We've seen that they're able to handle some of the spot duty that they'll have to do. If I'm Army, I'm not changing my stance on getting a defenseman at all. I think we ride it out. I think it's fine. The next couple weeks, certainly things could be much different, but I don't anticipate a huge drop off from them.
You mentioned that there was a couple more things you wanted to touch on last night. Not necessarily, I don't know that you're unhappy, but just a couple of things that you saw last night that you wanted to touch on.
You know, the one thing that I wanted to cover, which you brought up, which was great, was the Tarasenko factor. You know, I just want to see his body language get better. You know, like, I know he jumps in for Stastny. That's great. And that's the emotion that we talk about. It shows that he gives a shit, you know. And I don't think that he doesn't give a shit. I think that he's letting his emotions get the best of him right now. And you can see where his shoulders drop and his stick drops to the ice. And he's upset that, one, he either didn't hit the net, didn't score, didn't get a pass, or, you know, something that happens. And I just, sometimes that body language sends the wrong message to, you know, your teammates, the coaches, the fans, anybody who's watching the game. If they're not inside your head knowing exactly what you think, sometimes it can be confused to be something different. And I just want him to avoid that. You know, he's having trouble scoring as it is right now. Get the focus off of you from bad body language. You know, if they want to talk about not scoring, that's one thing. But now if you start talking about bad body language and that there's a possibility that, you know, he doesn't care or this or that and the other, like, you want to eliminate that. And I think that that's the number one thing. We see it all over the internet. We see it all over the place where coaches are talking about body language means everything. And I think that if he can change that body language a little bit, then people will just be, you know, rooting for him to score and not thinking that maybe he's got his own thing going.
You know, again, if we play really well and everybody's doing really well, I can't help but believe sooner or later he's going to start finding the back of the net. It's just what he does. And again, it's never great to have to go through it, but, you know, you hope he comes out on the other side and does what he does best. One thing I wanted to ask you about since we had you on today, we've had some people react to yesterday's show. You know, I think all three of us are big fans of Pat Maroon. I'm a little surprised that more fans aren't on board with adding a guy that brings that to the mix. In your opinion, and again, we're not going to speak for fans, you think this is simply looking at the stat sheet and going, well, what's he going to do, and not really realizing what he brings to the game?
Well, if they look at the stat sheet of the last couple of seasons, it should motivate them to want to have this deal happen. You know, he's put up some pretty damn good numbers, and he's been playing with some really good players. You know, look, I think people are getting a little confused maybe that we're talking about dealing, you know, top prospects, and we talk about, you know, the Hoffmans or the Nashes or those kinds of deals. I think maybe they're getting confused that we're looking to offer that kind of a package for Pat Maroon, which is not the case. You know, if you take into consideration a fourth rounder and maybe a Dmitry Yashkin, I don't think that's too much. And I think if people look at that, like, then you have to literally sit there and go, okay, what are Yashkin's numbers? What are Patty Maroon's numbers? What have they been over the last two or three years? What are they now? And then you have your apples to apples. And that's really what you're looking at for the trade. And I don't think people would be upset with that trade-off. And then if you look at the physicality, the number of hits, maybe the number of fights, maybe the penalty minutes, maybe the leadership abilities, then you really start to see the scale tip in the favor of this is a great thing. So I'm hoping our fans take a step back and Google Pat Maroon's stats and maybe do a side-by-side comparison and see what we're talking about for value and realize that we're not talking about, you know, putting together this massive package to get Patty Maroon. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to separate these two deals completely and try to get, you know, maybe two pieces to the puzzle here in different ways.
Yeah, and that's kind of was my thing. I mean, we live in a day and age, and, you know, you hear it more and more in baseball, but I think every sport now is going through the numbers change, and, you know, I just think sometimes we get caught up in looking at stat sheets and things like that, and, you know, I don't know that you can put a stat on, you know, what this guy would bring to the table. So I'm glad you brought that up. You know, again, how do you follow this game up now? See, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, they came out, you know, for lack of a better description, came out and kicked some ass. Now, what do you do for an encore? How do you keep that up? It can't be easy to match it, but you have to try, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, at the game that they're playing against Winnipeg doesn't get any bigger than what it is. And they should be riding high off of the victory last night, and the emotions should be high for any game against the Jets, let alone something that has implications like it does in their division. So if you can't get motivated for that game, then really we have a huge problem on our hands here with our Blues team. So I'm thinking that, they'll be tired and there's lots of things that'll come into it. And, if we want to dive deeper, does Carter Hutton play? Does Jake Allen play? What are you looking to do with that? What are you looking to do with your roster? Do you keep it identical? Obviously, you're minus a defenseman. So there's lots of things for the coaching staff to evaluate and look at. But as a player, you just go and get after it. We just had a hell of a game here at home. Emotions are high. Spirits are good. Let's carry that into Winnipeg. And we know it's going to always be an intense game, playoff-style game. Well, hopefully that, as a player, you're looking at, hopefully that brings out the best in me like it did last night against the Avalanche. So I don't think you think too much into it as a player. You just think about how hard you played, how good it felt, and that you want to carry that over.
Yeah, You can't start every game with a scrap, although I think some fans would like that. Kimby might like that. Just start it off. Just get it going, right? I mean,
You just got to put together a good first shift, If you get puck possession, as coaches, you talk about getting it deep and get in on the forecheck. Make them play from their end. It's almost like, making someone fight from their back on the ground. Get them pinned up against the wall early, and hopefully that generates something for your team.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a good scrap. And I got to tell you, a little surprise for you, Mr. Rivers. We've had some fans say, hey, love the intro. I mean, we did it right. We got the march in song. We got it going on, and then we start that thing right off with one of the greatest fight sequences in Blues history with Mr. Kimble and the Blackhawks. But we've had some fans say, "Hey, what about our love for our guy, Mr. Rivers?" So I had a fan send me something of you today to put in the intro. And it's you and a Mr. Radek Dvorak in front of the net there, and he gives you a little face wash, and you say, hey, I'm not going to have any of this, and you proceed to give Mr. Dvorak the business. Do you remember this scrap?
I do remember it, and it was funny because it was in overtime, which, back then was still 5-on-5. It wasn't like 4-on-4. There was no craziness to the game at that point, and I remember Al MacInnis was my partner, and he was thinking, what the hell is Riz doing? We're in overtime. And it just happens. The crowd at home in St. Louis was pumped up, and it was obviously a close game. We were tied, and I wasn't thrilled. I kind of drilled his head into the boards right before that. He came up front and kind of gave me the business with the stick and the crotch, and so no, I wasn't real happy about it, so I decided to let him know how I felt.
I think we're going to have to add that to the intro. That's pretty good stuff. Like I said, that you threw him pretty good there. I bet I see a few shots to the helmet. I'm sure your hands didn't feel too good when you hit that penalty box.
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing what the body can take. I don't remember any problems with my hands after that one. There has been some fights where hands are tore up from visors or helmets and that. That one there seemed like it was okay. Maybe the adrenaline was just running a little high for me that night.
Well, it's good stuff. We're going to have to get that in, and I want to thank the fans for sending us stuff like that. We love it. You got a lot of people that appreciate you doing the podcast. I appreciate you taking time out there. You got anything else for us before you go? I think we've already went longer than you had time for, but if you got anything else for us, I'll let you have the floor before you go.
No, I'm good. I think we're good. I just wanted to, like I said, I couldn't bite my lip anymore today. I wanted to get it off my chest. I do that sometimes when I'm pissed or upset, or yesterday went on a rant about, how things should be better. Well, I got to be fair and go on a rant sometimes when things are good. So today was that day.
Yeah, I don't know if our fans can handle a Jamie's Happy segment, but we're going to see how they feel about it. Obviously, Every time you're on the show, it's compliments of our good friends in the amateur hockey community. Of course, SynergyHockeySkills.com and our wonderful friends, the Nelson family, synonymous with amateur hockey here in St. Louis. NelsonLandServices.com. Give them an opportunity for your landscaping business. As we always say, you've probably seen their handiwork down at the Ozarks. They do beautiful stuff. Five-star rated professional landscaping at reasonable prices. So check them out at NelsonLandServices.com. And of course, you're always busy with SynergyHockeySkills.com. You want to tell our, give our listeners a quick hit on what you got going, and we'll let you get out of here.
Right now we're filling up summer camps. I know it sounds crazy because we're in February, but summer camps are filling up quickly, so get on to the website synergyhockeyskills.com. We're in almost every rink in St. Louis, so find a rink that works for you and a date that works for you and get signed up, and we will get to work this summer.
Well, you're good stuff, brother. The fans love you, and I appreciate you doing stuff like this. I'm going to let you get out of here. I'll take us home, and I'll see you on – well, I won't see you. I will hear from you on Monday at our normal time. Sound good, my friend?
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem. That is Jamie Rivers. And, again, I had a feeling this might come this morning, the text. I got to jump on. I need 15 minutes. And, again, really, I said, you can't possibly be pissed. He says, oh, no, I'm very happy. He says, but I got to be fair. If I'm going to be pissed, then I'm pissed. If and then when I'm happy, I got to be happy. And, you know, we were hard on the guys a little bit yesterday. So when they come back and give you the effort that's deserved, you got to be fair. So and that's why I know the fans appreciate Jamie and how he approaches everything he does with us. So happy to do this. And again, he's he's a consummate pro, and love the guys for being on and the things that they do. So happy to do this today. After listening to Jamie talk, I knew he was going to gush about Vince Dunn because, number one, Jamie's a big fan, if you can tell just by listening to him. But if you talk to him off the air, it's the little things that Vince does that maybe sometimes you don't see in the game that Jamie sees a lot in him. And then, he has a game like last night, especially in that spotlight, after the stuff that went on. Now, unfortunate injury to Edmondson, and it looks like Vince Dunn might be the guy that gets the opportunity to take some of those minutes. We'll see how that goes. But I knew that was going to come. The Braden Schenn thing, there's no way guys like Kimball and Rivers that played the game for so many years and have been part of those wars would not appreciate a guy like that doing what he did. And, like we touched on, you can't start a fight before the game starts every game and expect that'll get old, right? That'll get for show. I think what he did was it a little bit for show? Yeah, but I think it was a necessary for show. It was showing everybody, hey, look, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to give – win or lose, we're going to give you our best effort. And I think as Blues fans, that's all we can ask. When it comes to Tarasenko and his struggles, there's some Blues fans who are a little upset with him right now, but most of the Blues fans can appreciate the guy when he works hard. And if that's what's going down, the goals will come. Just keep working hard, and I think things will be okay. But the body language and stuff like that, even, Blues fans, they'll give it to a guy if they feel like they're not getting the effort, because I think Kimball said it best on the show yesterday. We appreciate the effort. So great stuff from Mr. Rivers. I appreciate him doing this. And like I said, it's one thing to call it out. It's another thing to say, look, I got to go the other way now too. So happy to have him on. Happy to have you guys listen to this special edition of Blues NHL Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show through there. Absolutely free. Do your shopping at Amazon. Once you click that Amazon banner, you're done with us. We get a very small referral. Help us with the production costs. Find us on Twitter, at NHL Show, at STL Blues Podcast. We'd appreciate it if you'd follow our Twitter accounts. Of course, Facebook is our biggest ask. Find Blues NHL Podcast on the Facebook search bar is the easiest way. Like our Facebook page. Click invite. Invite all your Blues friends to like our Facebook page. We'd greatly appreciate it. You can find us on Instagram as well at Blues NHL Podcast. And, of course, special thanks, as always, to the gang at lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. And now, with the new launch of Yo Radio, the newest internet station sensation, Google it, Yo Radio. You'll love it. Won't be long. We'll have all kinds of stuff cooking on there, especially with hockey. Happy to have you guys part of our journey with lineupmedia.fm. For Jamie Rivers, for Darren Kimball, and all the gang here at Blues NHL Podcast, I leave you with a Let's Go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.